This is the IC Pixels podcast with David and Anthony Cavins. We're going to talk about design in everyday situations.
Welcome back to another episode of the IC Pixels podcast. This is David.
This is Anthony,
and this week we are going to talk a little bit about e-commerce and websites and things like that. The reason why I thought we should talk about this is I got an email from someone. I've gotten several emails like this over the years, but I got an email somewhat recently from someone asking about, like, they wanted to set up e-commerce, wanted to sell something on their website, and they already kind of thought they had an idea of how things worked and what they wanted to do. And it made me think of, I wish people would ask more questions before they went down the path of doing e-commerce, or at least think things through. So I wanted to talk about something like, from our experience, some of the things we recommend that people think about and plan for when they want to do e-commerce, I've had some issues. I mean, most of the issues didn't impact me directly because, you know, I was just providing a service, but a lot of clients I work with and stuff like that have had problems with e-commerce, just all kinds of different problems. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Okay. What would you say would be some of the common misconceptions about e-commerce? The first one for me that comes to mind is that because it's on the internet, people are going to buy your stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely a big misconception. I would say one that I've run into a lot, aside from that one, because that's probably the biggest one I've run into also, is like, if I build it, they will come. That doesn't happen. The one I ran into a lot also was that it's really so there's two sides of it. Either they think it's really, really complicated to do e-commerce and it's going to cost them like millions of dollars to do it, or they think it's super, super simple and all I got to do is have a website. And both of those are wrong as well. Because I've had people that were just like, well, I want to sell stuff, but it's too complicated, or and I don't have the money to pay for it, so I'm not going to worry about it. I'm like, no, it's not that. It doesn't have to be that expensive depending on what you want. And then I've had people who were like, wanted like a complex e-commerce solution that could, you know, do coupon codes and bundled items and different shipping levels and all kinds of complicated stuff, and they were like, yeah, well, I have $500, that's my budget. And it's like, nope, sorry, you can't have that for that.
Yeah, I mean, there's tools that you can use to simplify some of those things, but like,
yeah, but even with tools, there's a, well, the other part of it was like, they, so the other misconception, I think number three I would think of, is like that all you need is like products and prices and maybe a picture of your product, because some of the people I've come to, they were just poorly informed in general. And I wish, this is like where I was talking about at the beginning, I would wish that they had come and said, hey, I'm thinking about e-commerce, what do I need to get ready to do it? Instead they were like, I want e-commerce, I have some money, let's get started, I need it by next week. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I can help you, because a lot of times some of the people I've worked with, like, let's say some of them were selling t-shirts, so let's say they're selling t-shirts. They may have one photo of a t-shirt, or they'll have a stock photo of a t-shirt and they want me to Photoshop whatever their design is onto that t-shirt.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yep. Like, they won't know what their shipping rates are and who they want to ship to or anything like that. They won't have sales tax planned out. They won't have product.
Why don't they have product, like, on hand?
I don't know. Well, these are just... So, this is an example of someone that I would not choose not to work with, because it's like, you're not prepared
to do this. They'll never be happy because they're going to put it up there and then be miserable because it's not selling. And I don't know. It just seems like somebody's just going to blame all the problems, all the, they're going to blame their failures on you.
Yeah. I've had that happen. Yeah. So now that's one of the things, like, so I guess what are some things you tell people when they ask for e-commerce sites? Like, what type of preparation would you tell someone to do before they begin?
I mean, you know, have a product, have good photos of it, know who your audience is, and like, you know, have good product descriptions. I mean, that all goes into your branding and everything, but know who you're, you know what it is. Be able to explain it to people quickly so that they can go to, especially if it's a new product. If you're selling a shirt, we already know what that's for. Mm. But I mean, but still, why should I buy your shirt?
Yeah.
What's this shirt made out of? You know, is it, you know, Gildan, or I mean, is it like the, you know, higher quality Gildan? You
know, or is it bankrupt American evil American Outfitters, or whatever that American Apparel. Yeah, I don't know why I'm saying American Outfitters.
Well, they had nice quality shirts though. But
yeah.
I mean, if they have if it's made by them, then yeah, I would buy it. But yeah, I mean, I mean, these are things you need to know and things that people should think about, like, you know, when you go to put it up.
Well, that's one thing. I was working with someone recently, and we talked about, like, you got to know your audience, obviously. And if you know your audience, you can gauge whether they're even interested in what you're selling. Because I think some people are like, well, I'm just going to sell stuff, and people are going to want it. But they don't they don't know who their audience is for their brand in general. And then they really don't know who their audience is, like the subset of their audience that would be willing to spend money with them. So they're putting out products that no one really wants at all. Maybe they're designed poorly or whatever. So I think it's a good idea to make sure you have a strong audience before you make that investment. Yeah. And then also make sure you're familiar with audience. So like you were talking about the type of shirts. Like if you're dealing with a crowd that does not care about like quality or organic wheatgrass type stuff, like they're not into like that whole conservation, like
lemongrass shirts,
like they're not into that, they don't care where the shirt was made or who made it or how it was made. Then you can sell them the Hanes that you got at Walmart and screen printed on or ironed a little iron on one. But if you're going for the Starbucks crowd, the Whole Foods crowd or whatever, then you need to sell our organic, like safely sourced shirt, you know, low carb or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you need to know your audience or what they expect. Like, I mean, you know, would you buy this from somebody? You know, you got to think about that. Yeah. I mean, if you're somebody that just likes basic stuff, then like that, then I mean, you know, maybe you know your audience. But you know, like I know me personally, yeah, I would want to know that stuff. I mean, I don't go to Starbucks that often, but I like stuff that I like, good quality stuff. So I mean, you know.
Yeah, if it's a shirt I like, I want it to last. I don't want it to be one of those one wash and then it's a wrap.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one thing I've suggested to people is, well, I have one of my clients that is a fashion designer. I mean, she has stuff on Etsy, and she's wanting to in the future, and she's growing to move into a more...
like a legit, I guess, e-commerce site.
Yeah, yeah, she would like to move into that. But right now, she's using Etsy. And I mean, and I've suggested to people, I mean, not as the, like she's like basic or whatever, but like for other people, if it's like this is something that you're just getting into, you're trying out, I mean, there's a lot of free tools out there that you can use, like Etsy, like if you're making a product or something like that and you just want to put it up eBay. There and sell to people. Yeah, eBay, all of those. Or you can use, I mean, if you're making t-shirts, like there's a lot of sites where you can do that where you don't have to stock up on, you know, product.
Right.
You can just, I mean, our shirts are like that because I'm not, you know, I mean, that's not our goal is to be a t-shirt company. We want to offer some t-shirts, like with designs on it, but that's not our goal to sell t-shirts. So it's like, I'm not going to have like a stock of product on hand where I can have these quality shirts that work pretty well.
So you got gunshots in the background?
That did sound like gunshots.
Well, hopefully you survive to the end of this podcast. I think that's another thing I would recommend people do. Like you said, plan ahead and maybe do a test run on a smaller, freer, cheaper platform. And then when your audience and your sales justify it, go to a bigger platform. I think it all kind of goes in together. Because I've had people that... We keep talking about t-shirts, but I guess a lot of people try and sell t-shirts these days, but... I worked with somebody who bought a bunch of t-shirts that they thought were going to sell, and then I set up a site for them, and you know, there were other issues in the process, but basically the shirts didn't sell, and they were sitting on inventory that they can't move, that I think it even had a year or a date on it as well, so it was time sensitive, and it was like, well, if you talked to me before, I could have given you some suggestions on ways you could have done it so that your shirts are printed on demand. It cuts into your profit, obviously, because if I go to Ray Ray's t-shirt shop, I can get a bunch of Gildan shirts for dirt cheap, and I can get them printed cheap, and they'll look decent. And then shipping, I just got to deal with shipping and selling them. But if I go through like a Cafe Press or Threadless or, you know, all the other variations of that, you lose some profit, but you don't have to sit on inventory, which is not good.
Yeah. And you're mostly, you know, if you really invest in the marketing and everything, then you can move those products. And, you know,
it's a little of a lot or a lot of a little, that type of situation.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the other thing I would tell somebody who's planning would be to think about, well, obviously, like we talked about profits and all that stuff, but I would think about profit margins and shipping and coupons and all that type of stuff. Like, if you, are these even things you want to offer? Where do you want to ship to? How much does that shipping cost? How much does your item weigh or whatever items you're shipping weigh? Or if it's a not a physical good, then cool, that's easy. But shipping is a very important thing to think about, because if your audience, again, it goes back to your audience, if your audience is overseas and you need to ship to them, then it's going to cost a whole lot more. And you're going to have to factor that into the cost of your product one way or another, because some people will be turned off like, oh, it's $50 to ship it. I'm not paying $50 to get a $10 T-shirt or whatever.
I was like, I see that on Amazon sometimes or other places. It's like, oh, this is really cheap. And then the print, you get the shipping, and it's like $16,000.
Never mind. Well, that's I'm not super cost sensitive, price sensitive, but shipping will make me fall back on a lot of stuff, because I notice it. They're little, like, you'll see it on eBay. I've noticed there a lot. You'll see something like, the shirt is 99 cents with $15 shipping. And it's like, well, I know it doesn't cost that much to ship it, but they're making their money off the shipping and not the actual price of the item. So, those are all things you have to think about.
That's why if it's not on Amazon Prime, I ain't getting it.
Yep.
I need that free 2-day shipping has spoiled me. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the other thing. One of the other things to think about would be like alternatives. Because for some products, if there's an alternative that I can buy, like from a major retailer where I can use coupons or I can get free shipping or I have like Amazon Prime type of situation, then why would I buy it from you? Unless it's, you know, obviously if it's some personalized thing that you can only get there, that makes sense. But if there's alternatives, then it's hard to make yourself competitive. Even if it's like, I work with someone who did a children's book and they were selling it on their site. And, you know, the marketing was not amazing. I didn't do the marketing, by the way. Let me point that out. But the marketing was not amazing. And so most of the sales were just to like friends and family of the person and not to really many strangers, because as a stranger, I'm going to look at the price. And then I'm also going to be like, I don't even know who this person is. I don't know much about them. I could just go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or I can go to my local bookstore and get a book similar price or cheaper. Word of the week. Comparable.
Is that the word? Comparable?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, and another option is to put your stuff on Amazon.
Yeah, that's true.
You're selling a book, put it on Amazon, or, you know, figure, I can't tell you exactly how to do that, but I know you can do it.
Yeah. It's not super difficult from what I've done it at least once or twice. It's not super difficult. Okay. And that's what I was going to say. One of the other things I would bring up is at this day and age, again, if you don't have a lot of people coming to your site, do you really need your own e-commerce? Because if you can sell,
I mean, have your own website, but you can sell that stuff.
Yeah, elsewhere. If you can sell elsewhere and still be legit and make money, then it's more convenient. Because I've talked to people who like wanted to have a podcast but didn't even think about putting it on iTunes, and it's like, well, everybody or selling an MP3. So yeah, that's another example. This guy was trying to sell an MP3 of some music, like directly from his site, not on iTunes, nowhere else, just directly on his site. I'm selling this music, and it's like, no. No one is going to find it. Like, people will find it if they find your site, but you got to put it in where more people are, just like hosting videos directly on your site. You put that on YouTube, put your music on iTunes, because that's where everyone else is.
Yeah. I mean, and find other ways to make people come to your site.
Yeah.
Because all those things, they allow you to embed it on your site, so it's there. But yeah, you want to, you know, just like if you were at a festival or something like that, or a convention, and you had a table, it's like, you know, you don't want to be out, you know, up the street when everybody's at the convention.
Yeah. No matter how good your stuff is, people might not find it.
Yeah, they don't know it's there. So, I mean, you know, thankfully with the internet nowadays, you can be where the people are. So, and it's totally up to you how much exposure you get.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So, I guess the other part of e-commerce is obviously how you get your money. Typically, how for the e-commerce stuff you've done, are most people just using PayPal or what?
PayPal's the easiest. I will say that I like using PayPal on websites personally, yeah. Just, you know, as a consumer, because I'm lazy and I don't feel like, I mean, I know back in the day you had to set up accounts at everybody's website, and I don't want to set up an account at your website. I'm sorry. Not nowadays where I can easily pay with PayPal. I mean, if I have to, I'll do it, but you know, you have to be reputable. Otherwise everybody else seems to take PayPal or something like that. Something equivalent. Which I think works great. You need to have that option. So for people that, you know, you just want to do something quick. I don't want to, especially when you're on your phone and all that kind of stuff. It just doesn't seem, I don't want to enter my credit card information on the phone. Like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. For most of the stuff I've done, it's been PayPal. A few have done like a regular credit card processor with a merchant account and all that stuff. But, one interesting thing, so I was working with one person, and I explained to them how PayPal works, all that stuff. They apparently weren't listening, but they
didn't know what PayPal.
They knew about it, but they didn't know about like the fees and everything. Oh. So they sold some stuff, and basically their profit margin wasn't big enough. So they sold some stuff. They were like, "Ooh, I'm going to get all this money." And then they saw the fees come out, and they withdrew the money, got it to their bank, and then they called me upset, like. They took like half my money. Well, it wasn't half their money, but you know, it was a percentage of their money was taken by the processing fees or whatever. And they were upset at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's how PayPal works. See my emails. Because,
yeah, you're using their tool that they built. I mean, it's, you know, it's only right that they can charge you for making the tool. And I mean, that's normal. I mean, it's not, I mean, credit cards charge you too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, when you do credit card processing on a site, it's not. So that's one of the things also. So I keep coming up with more things that to be bear in mind when you're doing e-commerce. But if you want to do credit card processing, you better have enough sales to justify it. Because it's not that cheap. Yeah. I mean, some places are cheaper than others. But last time I looked at it, which was a while back, it's not that cheap. And so if you're only making maybe $10 a month or something like that, it's not worth it. You might as well do PayPal. Because you're gonna lose.
Yeah.
If you go a month without selling anything, you're losing money.
Yeah, I mean, and you can. I mean, I guess depending on what you're selling, if you have like an Etsy shop or something like that, then they, you know, or you're using another site, equivalent site or something like that, they're gonna handle some of that stuff because they do it for everybody, so it's not a big deal to them because of the volume that they do. But yeah, if it's like for you individually, then yeah.
Yeah. So. What kind of tools do you usually use when you're doing e-commerce for people? Do you build your own stuff, or do you just use like PayPal buttons or what?
I mean, cause I haven't done any huge sites or like e-commerce sites or anybody. A lot of people I've dealt with, it's a smaller stuff, and like those, the one lady, she's doing fashion, but her stuff is on Etsy. So she's just using that. So it's just a matter of embedding it in the site. I mean, I've set it up for some other people, but there were different tools and different plugins I used through WordPress to set them up. I don't have like a specific one because honestly, I'm in the process of trying to find one that works properly for what I'm trying to do. Because they want to use PayPal and everything, and just I don't know. We're trying to find something that, you know, I don't know, something that works properly. So, I mean, more recently, I'm going to be working with somebody with customizing a Shopify site, but that's honestly like she already has it and I'm just customizing it. So I don't know. I mean, I can suggest some things, some extra tools you can use if you want to try out, you know, e-commerce without actually building the whole thing into your site. Like, I mean, you got Etsy, you got Threadless, you got Zazzle, you got, there's another one. That
Shopify, BigCartel.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. And a lot, most of them, yeah, I'd say, like, so if you're interested in setting up e-commerce, I think I would consider one of those first.
Depending on what you're selling.
If you got some massive multilateral scheme or something, then don't do that. But Magento, or I think it's Magento is one I've used. That's more robust. It's for a larger scale stuff, but it's nice. In WordPress, I've used WooCommerce, and then there's some other ones, but WooCommerce is probably the best one I've used because it's got a lot of add-ons and stuff.
It crashed the last site I put on.
Okay, well, maybe it's not the best, but I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Some other plugin crashed the site, and I had to remove it. So, but yeah, I don't know.
I like it. I've used some other ones like in Joomla and stuff like that, but that's been years ago. But yeah, there's tons of tools out there, so you don't have to be worried. And a lot of them will handle most of what you need to handle. But I think from a site owner perspective, you just have to be flexible, and I would say do as much research as you can before you settle in on a platform or a plugin or whatever you're going to use, because some of them, like, once you put in the time to get it set up and running, you it's kind of counterproductive to move to a different tool at some point. So, because
it's an investment of time and probably money.
Yeah, so definitely evaluate what you're going into and plan ahead. Like, right now, I don't want to offer coupon codes or offer product bundles or anything like that. But do I ever want to? Because if I ever want to, I might want to consider something that can do that, or like tiered shipping and stuff like that. And then communicate that. So what would you say, what would your advice be to a developer who's doing e-commerce solutions and working with a client?
What do you mean? What they should tell them, or like what they should use,
I don't know. So, like, assume the client has everything; they know what they want and everything. What would you advise? Not in terms of what you should use, but just like overall strategy.
Find out if they intend on entering all of the products themselves.
Well, yeah, that's important. I've gotten bitten by that.
If not, then you're going to need to raise that price. And if not, then, you know, if they're entering this stuff, I mean, because, you know, you need to find out what they expect you to do.
Well, I worked with somebody and they wanted an e-commerce site because they were like some kind of wholesale things. They could get they got like an Excel or a CSV file of all this stuff, prices and everything. And they wanted to import that into some kind of shopping cart to sell it. And they were just basically middlemen for some wholesaler or something. I don't know the details, but it seemed kind of shady. But they sent me the information, and I was like, it was just a mess. It wasn't organized. I couldn't figure out what each of the fields were. So I told them, I can't help you. They were upset. I don't know why, because they didn't pay me anything. But it was one of those situations where they didn't have everything together, and I just didn't have the time or the technical know-how at the time to figure out what their mess was. So that, I guess I agree with what you're saying, but I think one of my main things I would recommend to like a designer or developer who's doing e-commerce or somebody is make sure they have everything they could possibly need, and also make sure that you talk to them about what their future plans are in terms of growth or offering different things and stuff like that. And then
you need basically find out if they're serious or not.
Well, the other thing would be really like what level of integration they want, because that'll help determine like what tool you use.
Yeah. I mean, do they want to build? And by that, you mean, do they want to build the whole site in like something like Shopify, or do they just want to embed something in the WordPress site or something like that? But yeah, you gotta, I don't know. You really got to find out if they're about that life or not.
Yeah.
Really. Or they just, or, you know, testing the water before you jump in there, because it's going to be some late night and you're entering their, you know, 18th t-shirt.
Well, the good thing is that
question some why tools you did
like
this.
The import and export stuff, but again, that's what I was talking about earlier. Everybody's got their own proprietary stuff, so some tools is pretty easy to import and export in, but if the person doesn't have their stuff together in a spreadsheet or something easily importable, then it's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, especially if they're serious, they usually, a lot of times they have a tool already. If they're got some level of success, they're already using some kind of tool. They're already out there selling stuff, you know. But yeah, if it's somebody new, then yeah, you get as much information as possible so you can know how much to charge and find out if they're really serious and if you actually even want to get in the boat with them. So it's going to be a long ride.
Yep. Okay, so as a developer, I think the other thing that it's important to understand from your, like, even if you're not, if you're planning on working with people that might want e-commerce and stuff like that, I think it's important to understand the security issues and then also other tools that you can, like, features that people might want in their shopping cart. Because, like, a lot of sites you go to nowadays, like, I bought something from J.Crew, like, a month or two ago. But they wanted me to sign into the site in order to check out. You could sign out. You can check out as a guest. But if you check out as a guest and they don't let you track it on their site or something, there's some downside to not checking out as a guest. But anyway, like, a lot of that functionality, people are somewhat starting to expect on their regular, I just have a WordPress site and I want to sell t-shirts or I want to sell whatever on my site. So it's good to be kind of familiar with how shopping experience goes. And then you also want to make sure that whatever you set up gives people a good experience where it's, they feel comfortable and they're not like gone being taken to some weird page to check out and stuff like that. Because that's the, that's one of the biggest drawbacks I feel. Well, one, it was one of the biggest drawbacks. It's not as big anymore, but back in the day when I used to do stuff with PayPal for people, they felt like weird because you're on a site, everything looks great, and you click a button and it suddenly takes you somewhere else to, and it's asking for your credit card information. Yeah. Like, I don't know where I am and all this other stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah, now people are more accustomed to it.
Now people know it.
But that's one of those things you got to think about. And again, like knowing your audience, you could say, I only serve like the 70 plus community, so I probably need to just accept credit cards the traditional way. Maybe have PayPal there as well, but I need to have a traditional way for them to check out if they're not comfortable with PayPal.
Something 70-year-olds are used to from their youth. What did they use to check out on the internet when they were young? Checks.
Can I mail you a check?
They wrote checks, so they I mean, no, I mean that's important. I mean, cause I know people, like I was saying, I mean, some people just don't feel like going through the process of something else, and they'll use PayPal, or it's just a security thing. They don't feel like putting, make an account on your store, you know, a separate one, putting all their information in. So
the only other, go ahead.
I mean, I was just saying, I mean, and it goes, like you were saying, it's like all controlling the whole experience around the site. Also, as a developer or somebody that's working with a developer, you need to make sure that it doesn't feel weird when they click a button and they feel lost. Like, you need to make sure that link opens in a new window or something like that. Or, you know, just, you know, they have a way back to the site. So if it does take them away, it brings them right back.
And you can do all that through PayPal. If you know what you're doing, if you just use the basic PayPal button, it's not going to do that as well. But if you actually use like PayPal Payments Pro or whatever it's called, you can actually, and or you use their API, whatever, you can actually have it bring you back to the site when you're done and stuff like that. The other thing I was going to mention that I just seem to have forgotten. Some of these, so that's again goes back to, we keep going back to the same thing, it seems like, but the, if you're starting, if you already have a site and you need a store, some of the tools that we've talked about before offer a certain level of integration, but in order to have the best user experience, it should be somewhat fully integrated where, you know, the menu and everything looks the same. Because I've seen some people that have like a, they have their website and there's a link that says shop and it takes you to a Shopify site or to a Big Cartel site or something like that that looks somewhat similar, maybe the same color, but it, you could tell you left their site and you can't easily get back. And so that's where you can either get a tool that fully integrates with your, you know, content management system, or you can work with a developer to fully integrate it so that it looks basically seamless. Like your website looks just like your Shopify site, or, you know, vice versa, so that it's not like, it's not obvious that you went to a new site.
Yeah.
They have people do important. Both ways where I mean, either they had a site and they grew into a shop, or they had a shop and then they felt they needed to have a blog or something else with it. And then it's like, well, I can't do that in this cart tool. So now we're gonna have to set up something else and make it look the same. And it's not that cheap. And then,
See, I mean, on my art website, I mean, I have my Etsy embedded in there. I mean, it's not fully integrated. I mean, I don't know if that's something that's turning people off from it, or honestly, I haven't checked the SEO on that in a while, but I don't know if that's something that turns people off or not, it just being embedded like that, or if I need to actually, you know, fully integrate it into the site. I haven't made the decision yet. I don't know. I just haven't decided yet.
One other, I guess, a topic I would say that people need to remain cognizant of is inventory for physical goods. For non-physical stuff, who cares? But for physical stuff, inventory. Because I've worked with someone who was not tracking their inventory. Well, okay, it's a combination of things. It's inventory. That's one issue. But the other issue is like the person's level of technical savviness or technical ability. And the person's willingness to manage their own shop. Because I've worked with some people that, so they weren't, so like, let's say I set up a shop and they're selling cups. The person, I thought they were, I gave them information, gave them instructions, gave them training on how to manage their own shop. So they could go in, they could adjust inventory levels, they could see what orders were coming in, they could fulfill those orders, they could update order status when stuff was shipped, all that type of stuff. But they weren't doing that properly. So when things would go out of stock, they were emailing me like, hey, quickly, can you do this right now and put this thing as zero in stock? And I'm like, no, I'm at the park with my daughters, I'm not doing that. And so there's two issues there. Obviously, you got to manage your inventory. There are tools that you can allow the site to manage the inventory for you. So you say, I got 10 cups I'm selling, and it'll automatically count down, and it'll put a warning up there, and it will stop selling the thing when it runs out of stock. But also, as the shop owner, you have to take some responsibility and run your own shop, because like your developer shouldn't be doing that for you, unless you're paying them to do it.
They don't want to do that.
No.
I can assure you they don't want to do that. Yeah. What were they using to do that?
So that was all, mostly that was done in WordPress. All the functionality was there. They just were unwilling to log into their site and manage their own content. Or just lazy or whatever, you know, whatever the issue was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, I mean, once again, that's something that you got to consider. Yeah, you don't want to have to call somebody every time something sells and they end up with like a shortage. I mean, that makes me think of, I guess it has to do with e-commerce, but all these people with Instagram boutiques. I guess it wasn't a boutique, but my fiance ordered like a bunch of hair care stuff from someone. It's happened twice. She ordered her stuff while they're having a sale, and then it took them like almost a month to ship it out because they were like, oh, we couldn't handle the inventory, so we couldn't, you know, everything was late. And it's like, why did you have a sale and then not have the inventory to back it up? Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, Well, I guess that's another part of planning. You got to make sure you can handle your solution can scale if necessary, and you can handle whatever it throws at you, because stuff can, like, you can blow up, you can go viral or something.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm not sure exactly how these other people are selling stuff. I mean, it just seems like, here, just go to this link, this weird random link that is a shop, I guess, but I don't know.
So I saw this one person on Instagram. She may or may not have been an Instagram a thoughtrepreneur, but she was like selling clothes or something. And so she would say, you know, to get this shirt that I have on or whatever, email this email address.
Yeah, that's sketchy.
Yeah, I'm like, why would anyone buy anything from you? Well, I got to email you to order. Like, that doesn't even make
sense. That's too many steps. No, I'm not going to email you. Just give me a link, if anything. If I can't find a link in your bio, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And even that, I mean, from the standpoint of Instagram, I guess there's a reason why they don't allow links, but it's already complicated to get people like, okay, well, you got to go to the link in my bio to click this.
And, yeah, that's already more steps than I'm willing to take. Well, I guess that brings us to another point. As a designer, developer, and as a shop owner, you want to do whatever you can to remove barriers between the person wanting to buy and their ability to give you money. Like, if someone's trying to hand me money, I'm not going to, like, run away from them. I'm not going to put, like, bricks in the way or, you know, close the door so they can't come through or whatever. But sometimes it could be technology just putting barriers in the way, like we talked about Instagram, or it could just be, like, your stupid ideas as a shop owner that put barriers in the way of people trying to buy from you. So whatever you can do to remove those barriers, like we talked about, multiple payment processors, so they can use PayPal or they can enter their credit card directly. Well, security, like, if you're doing a credit card on your site, you better have an SSL on there, because otherwise people are going to get scared and leave.
Some people
will give you their credit card and give it to the Russians or whoever else as well.
I mean you should just do that as a courtesy, because you don't want that to come back on you.
What are some other kind of barriers that you've seen people self-impose barriers?
I mean, like I was mentioning, like, you know, just not describing your product. Like, I don't understand how this, you know, I talk about t-shirts all the time, that are clothes or, you know, depending on what it is. It's like, if you don't understand how it fits, you don't describe it properly, you know, what is it made of? You know, really give me, you know, tell me what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if it's not just a t-shirt. If it's something else, I need to know it, because, you know, there's gambles you need to take. I know with women's clothes, I mean, it's a real gamble, like, depending on what it is, like buying pants or something like that. Like, unless you're, like, you know, a classically shaped classic American, as they would say.
I know what you mean. I'm reading between the lines.
Okay, yes. There we go. you're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I've been to shirt. I guess we both spend a lot of time shopping for shirts or something. I don't know, but I've bought, I've looked at some t-shirts online, and unless, like, if they say, like, it's a American Apparel shirt, I kind of know how those fit, because I think I have one or two. But if they don't say, then sometimes I want measurements. Well, especially, like, I've bought, like, suits and, like, dress shirts and stuff online, and I want those to fit well. I don't want it to be all, like, baggy, flapping in the wind, like Oprah's arms or Star Jones' arms or something like that. So,
wow.
Yeah. So,
Wizard's Road.
So, measurements, like, what the shirt is made out of, like, that type of stuff is important. And I think there's been times when I've not seen that information and I chose not to buy, and that, you know, it's a loss for the store owner that they could have easily fixed if they said, wrote a short, like, it's a cotton shirt. It's a 100% polyester shirt I got from Walmart on sale.
Yeah. Especially if it's a higher price thing. But I feel like even if you're selling something that's not higher price, people are going to appreciate the thought that you put into describing it. They're going to equate that with the quality of the product.
Yeah.
Even if it's not like high, I mean, give me everything, you know, give me everything. Yeah. Tell me everything about it, you know. You want me to buy something off the internet, I've never seen it before. I mean, you can reduce the amount of returns you have if you do it properly, and that saves you money in the long run.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean that's the one that mainly comes to mind. I mean,
yeah, because if you look at like car websites, they have a ton of information out there about these cars that they're going to charge you, you know, $60,000 or $30,000, $40,000 for. I don't know how much cars cost. I don't buy new cars, but there you have a ton of information on their site. They got videos. They got a bunch of pictures. You can read all the text and the specifications and stuff like that. So whatever you're selling, if you provide as much information as possible, that helps. And then that made me think, what you were saying made me also think of like on a car website, again, they don't just have a stock photo of the side, the top, the back and front of the car. They have the car like driving down a mountain pass with some snow in the background, and it's an SUV, and it's like some generic white people driving or whatever. And so
it all
creates an image. And
it's like it's a lifestyle thing. I mean, I think that's the thing that people are buying into more now. It's they want to, you give them a feeling of what you know.
If you buy this T-shirt, you might drive a Volkswagen and have lots of tattoos and a long beard or something like that.
Yeah.
Or whatever other variations.
Or at least it's inspired to.
Yeah, but it's, you're selling a lifestyle, and so I think that's important too. And of course, like you talked about for women's clothes, I think it matters for men's clothes too, but everybody aspires to something, so.
Yeah. Especially if you're selling stuff these are not essential goods. Yeah. People can live without your stuff. They don't need your T-shirt, honestly. So, I mean, you gotta, you know, really, if you really wanted to move, you need to place it in the right place and show them the environment that it would be in so that they can feel like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, well, for clothes, I think it's important to show, oh, well, the T-shirt is simple, but anything like that, it's nice to see, okay, how's this going to go with an outfit or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was talking to a new client recently, and one thing she said was important to her and the clothes that she makes, because she does fashion too, is that one of the things that she likes, that she works into her product, is that they're, people can do, you know, move around in them. Mm-hmm. They're not just like stiff, you know, clothes or whatever. You can move, you can wash and stuff like that. And that's part, and she was thinking about like including like a video in like for her products. And like I hadn't thought about that before, but I was like, that's a great idea, because, you know, if that's what you're pushing, then that's what people can understand more so than a picture. Because in a picture, cause things can be all pinned up and all kinds of sitting perfectly. Yeah. But that's not actually how it would look. Like, think like a way a lot of clothes are displayed on the internet now. They're like, looks like they're laid on, you know, some hipster's floor. Yeah.
Hardwood floor.
Like perfectly, I mean, I do that too, but perfectly like creased and everything. But like, that's not the way that those clothes are going to look when you actually put them on.
Yeah. It's honestly, there's a lot of deception in that, in terms of they'll lay it down there and then they'll take pictures of it. But whoever's wearing it, they pinned it up or they tailored it to fit the model. And it probably will fit them better than whatever fit you or whatever. But, you know, that's understandable. Yeah. That's marketing.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, there may be some errors there. I think you need to think about it before you just go start laying all your stuff on the hardwood floor. Like, really think about, like, is this what's going to be important to who I'm trying to market to?
Yeah.
I mean, for women, I mean, it's not to speak for women, but. Figure we're two guys. Let's speak for women, but
we've been doing it for so many years.
Dude, I'm a dude. Let's speak for women. Yeah, works out great. But they shape different out here. So I mean, you gotta, you know.
Yeah, I think measurements and all that. Well, again, it's like, what information would you want before you would buy this item, and provide that and then some. Because again, it's a barrier, and not everybody's gonna make the effort to contact you to find out the answer to that question. Because there's stuff I've wanted, and I didn't see the information I wanted, and so I went and found an alternative. I didn't even bother to ask. Yeah. And it might have been the perfect thing, but I didn't bother to ask because they just didn't have it ready for me.
I mean, like with shoes. I mean, I want to know how other people say it fits before I buy it online. I buy most of my shoes online, but, you know, I want to see the reviews. I mean, I watch random people on YouTube talking about shoes and stuff like that for no good reason, just so I know for sure, you know, before I get into it, before I spend the money. I mean, I don't want to return it. I know you can always do that, but I don't want to go through that trouble. I just want to know it fits and how it feels and everything. And so, I mean, the more information you can give me, the better. I mean, because I know, like, bigger sites, I mean, they have the product reviews right there on the under the product.
Yeah.
So you know right off the bat, like, okay, yeah, this is something I like. Yeah.
That's important. And a lot of that, basically all the stuff you mentioned, but a lot of those are available. You can add those into a shopping cart tool one way or another so that, you know, people get all every, like, you want to make people feel comfortable, and that goes to the design and the checkout process and the cart process, but it also goes to the information on the page and the pictures and all that type of stuff. I mean, like we've talked about in the past, I don't like to always talk about race, but if you're selling to an audience that's mostly white, don't have a bunch of black people on your site modeling your stuff. Like,
what if they have a lot of black friends? Well,
you can have some. So I feel bad saying that, but if you look at the internet, you see that's exactly what people do. They don't. They market to who most of their audience is.
Well, it's not. Well, I mean, because sometimes it's not always about race.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
It's about socioeconomic status.
Sometimes it.
Or
what you're into. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, people can tell. Like, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, if you're selling tattoo t-shirts. Tattoo, I don't know. T-shirts. That's a bad example. Yeah.
Okay, so I got a catalog today in the mail from Land's End.
Yeah.
I bought something from them like 2 or 3 years ago, and they continue to send me stuff. But in that catalog, it's not that many younger people. Like, maybe some of them might be my age, but not that, you know, you're not going to catch any young hipster-looking people in a Land's End catalog. You're going to get some token black people. You're not going to get any, no Muslim people in there. And then most of the settings for the photos and everything, if they have an outdoor setting, it seems like it's a more East Coast, Northern setting, because it's more of that type of brand. And that's what I'm saying. Like, they know who buys their stuff, and so they're marketing towards those people.
Oh, perfect example. Like, recently I saw a Timberland commercial. And, like, you know, for the classic Timbs. And, like, it actually showed people, like, DJs and stuff like that. It was like they finally figured out the only people that buy these are people in New York that are not.
It's not people in New York only, but.
You know, not just people in New York, but you know what I mean. It's not whatever. I don't know what those were originally built for, but that's not what they're using.
They were originally like real work boots.
Okay. Well, the commercial was like showing them in a variety of situations. And one was like a DJ and like all kinds of random people doing different stuff that, you know, so it's like they figured out who their market was. And like, okay, wait. I mean, it seems a little late, but they figured out, like, okay, let's not.
Was it not alienate anybody?
Yeah.
I think that's the key. You don't want to alienate anybody. Whether it be somebody that's not technically sound or just someone who doesn't see someone who looks like themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you gotta, and there's a reason why they use basketball players to sell basketball shoes.
Yeah, it seems obvious at first, but when you think about it, a lot of people don't even do that. Yeah. Don't even try that much.
Yeah.
Well, so, any closing thoughts on e-commerce and planning e-commerce sites and working with e-commerce people?
I would say, I mean, if you're thinking about going into it, I mean, really think about, I mean, really consider if you're really about that life. And if you are, you know, find a good product, or, you know, try one of the free tools like Etsy or something else, depending on what you're doing. Just to start off and get your feet wet and get in the process of getting, find out what works and learn how to do descriptions and all that kind of stuff, because they force you to do that. And then, I mean, also, you know, while you don't have a lot of product, do as much as you can as far as we're talking about description and, like, you know, pictures and everything. Go all out on that, especially if you're new, because people are gonna, that'll keep people around if they feel like they have a feeling. If you got like hundreds and hundreds of products, then yeah, I know you don't have time to do that. But, you know, that's after you've already built yourself up to that point and you have an audience. And just keep in mind that just because it's on the internet doesn't mean that people are going to find it.
Yeah, I mean, in a future episode, we could probably talk about all of the stuff you have to do in terms of, or things, our suggestions for, in terms of marketing and promoting once you have your store up.
Yeah.
But I guess my final thoughts, kind of along the lines of what you said, plan and research as much as you can so that you know what's available, what's possible, what will and will not work. Ask questions, even if, like, I would almost prefer to, like, do consultation work with someone before I open, any development software. I'd rather sit down and talk to you about what your goals are, what you want to do, how you plan for this to work, all that type of stuff, instead of doing the development work. Because the more we talk and you get a better understanding, then I can kind of help guide you to the right way. So if you're planning on doing this, definitely, if you're not using, if you're not in a position where you can go with one of the simple free tools or whatever, for whatever reason, then definitely get in touch with a web designer, developer, someone who knows how to do this stuff that can at least give you some guidance or some advice. And, ask more people. If you have questions, you can contact us and we'll try and answer your questions as well. But I think that will save you a lot of time, because a lot of the people I've worked with and a lot of trouble we've run into, like people running out of inventory, people not having all their products and descriptions ready, people not understanding how payment processes work and shipping and all that type of stuff. If we had had more conversations and spent more time discussing things before rushing into the project, I feel like a lot of these, some of them would never have happened, which would have saved me some time. And then some of them would have turned out so much better because the expectations would have been correct. So some of it's obviously, our fault as developers. We have to make sure we're asking the right questions and gathering the right information before we start. But also, I think as a store owner who actually wants to be successful or make at least some, at least get break even, then you've got to do your own due diligence and make sure you understand what you're getting into. And there's plenty of articles on the web out there about this stuff.
Yeah. Measure twice, cut once.
Okay, I was like, did he say that right? I thought it was cut twice, measure once.
No, that's wrong. But
apparently
wrong.
I'm confused.
Clearly you've been doing it wrong.
I just go with the advice, you need to cut it.
They were playing that on NPR the other day. We were talking about the GOP budget proposal. I was like, wow, that's... I like NPR.
It's really funny when you hear, like, those like reporters on there and they're playing like rap music, and it's just weird.
Yeah, it's like, wait, they're playing, because they weren't playing the lyrics, but if you for somebody that didn't know, they didn't know. But if you knew, you're like, I know, I see what you did there.
Well, that's it for this week. In our next podcast, I don't know what we'll be talking about, but we're probably going to bring back the TV and Netflix segment, because I've been watching stuff on Netflix and I want to talk about it. So be sure to tune in next time. You can follow us on social media at Alien Muffin, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can subscribe to our podcast, the IC Pixels podcast, on TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes,
Google Play,
and probably somewhere else.
MySpace.
Please do not look for us on MySpace. But thanks for listening.
Yeah, we're out.